Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and monroeglobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
And in this segment, I want to talk about rediscovering the original purpose and assignment of Jesus. Why did he come? And let me begin with a few comments. Number one, and write these down, please. These are principles. The purpose for man's creation was to administrate a kingdom. That is why God created man. God created man originally to administrate a kingdom. Number two, the fall of man was the lost of that kingdom. The fall of man was not the lost of heaven. It was the lost of the kingdom. And I think that's important to note, because many of us are excited about going to heaven, when in reality, heaven is not God's focus. Third point I want to remember is that the promise of salvation and the redemptive work of God was to restore a kingdom. The cross, the suffering of Jesus, the death and the burial of Jesus, and even the resurrection was all motivated by God's desire to restore a kingdom, not God's desire to get you back in heaven. If I'm going to restore you to something, then I must first have a clear understanding of what was the store. What was your original state? And man did not fall from heaven. He fell from dominion. He fell from his kingdom status. The fourth point I want you to remember is that the fulfillment of God's will is the reestablishment of his kingdom on earth. Please write that down in bold letters. The fulfillment of God's will is the reestablishment of his kingdom on earth. That statement is very critical, because the entire Bible is about God's will. And if we are going to understand what God is after, we got to understand what God desires. And God desires to fulfill his will. We read a scripture this morning, and I was meditating on that chapter this morning. Colossians chapter 1. Powerful stuff in there. And in that chapter you hear Paul say, I pray that you will understand the will of God. And then in that chapter he says, he took us from the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of light. And then he repeats it. He took us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. It's all about transferring from one kingdom to another. So God's will is fulfilled when man is restored back to the kingdom of God. The problem is we have been allowing religion to take the place of the kingdom. And we've even allowed an organization called the church to take the place of the kingdom. Some people are more concerned about being a member of a church than being a citizen in the kingdom. Kingdoms have no members in it. Kingdoms are governments. They are countries. Kingdoms are political regimes. Kingdoms are constitutional governments. So when God used the word kingdom, he knew what he was talking about. He was talking about governments. He was talking about a nation or a nationality. So God doesn't want members. He wants citizens. And citizens are different from members. We talked about that in our last session. And the final point I want to drive home is this, that the program of salvation is to restore man back to the kingdom government of God. Everybody say government. Say it again. Whenever you think about kingdom, I want you to think government. Can you write the two words down? Kingdom equals government. Kingdom and government are synonymous concepts. kingdom and governments. Why did Jesus come? Let's see how important governments are. Now here's a verse that you all have heard if you've been in church for any time. Read it aloud with me together. Let's read it together. Everybody, go. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government, stop right there. Now where did that come from? Everyone talks about Christmas. Everyone talks about the coming of Jesus, how he was born, and the boy was born, and the baby came. And we keep thinking he came so that he could get us into heaven. But look at the first statement made about him. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be where? Upon his shoulders. Keep reading. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government. Stop reading again. Have you ever noticed that? He comes to bring not a religion. And I pause. Because growing up in the Bahamas is a religious experience. Jesus didn't come to bring a religion. There's the verse about his coming. It prophesies 2,000 years before he came. It says he's coming for this purpose, with a government on his shoulder. And when he brings it, there'll be no end to it, and it will keep increasing. I want to pause right there and teach for 2 hours. Do you read the Bible carefully? Let's read that verse again. And the increase, not of his religion, but the increase of his government. In other words, he wants the government of the kingdom to keep expanding and expanding and expanding. Taking over the job, taking over the business, taking over the world, taking over the investment, taking over children, taking over youth, taking over all the money, taking over all the equipment, all the real estate. He wants his kingdom to keep taking over stuff. Let me put it this way. Jesus came to colonize earth. The same way the British colonized the Caribbean, and the same way the French colonized Haiti and Guadeloupe, and the same way the Spaniards and the Portuguese colonized Cuba and South America, is the same way Christ wants to colonize earth. The British never left England. They just colonized everything else. The Queen stayed in England. But the colonies became just like the British. That's why we speak English. That's why we drink tea. The French never left France, but they colonized Haiti. That's why the Haitians speak French. But they all came on the same boat with us. They are cousins. But how come they speak French, we keep English? Because the colonies were different. And the same way the French took over Guadeloupe and made them French speaking and made them eat cheese and wine, and the British took over the Bahamas and made us drink tea and wear long socks. And the same way the Spaniards took over Cuba and they speak Spanish and they eat Spanish falafel and all this funny stuff. It's because when a kingdom takes over, the territory looks just like the headquarters. The first thing that you do when you take over a territory is you send a governor. Who ruled the Bahamas during the British colonial days? It was a governor. Where did he come from? He came from England. And his job was what? To convert the Bahamas into England. To make it just like England. So he made us drive on the left side, not the right side of the road, on the left side. Why? That's the way they drive. They also made roundabouts instead of streetlights. Why? Because they got roundabouts in England. They made us drink tea, not coffee. Coffee is an American idea. They made us take GCEs. That's a British exam. They made us study British English and British history. We don't know nothing about African history. They made us study their history. God wants to destroy your history and learn his. Ooh, that feels so good. God don't want you to know where you came from. He wants you to know where he came from, because where he came from is where you came from. Oh, you can get that some other time. See, if you was born in sin, he said, forget that history. I got a new history for you. You were born in my image. That's the real history for you to learn. He came to what? Increase his government. Read the next of it. And peace, and there will be no end to his government. He will reign on David's throne and his kingdom. Man, this passage is full of these words. His kingdom shall what? Be establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on until forever. Amen and amen. Now that's the verse you should be reading at Christmas. It's a political verse. It's politics. We make it manger. It's politics. It's big politics. Christ came to establish a government. And what's so wonderful about it is he came to make you an ambassador. This is the only kingdom where the citizens are family to the king. And this haven't gotten through to your head yet. Because if you go to work this week and you got some difficulties, if your brother is the king, how could you worry? It's all relationship you need to think about. See, so we need to appreciate that God came to bring what? A government. Write that down. It's a government. Jesus came to establish a government, and the government is called the kingdom of God. Now, I want to show you some comments made by Jesus that are mind-blowing. These statements made by Jesus are amazing. Luke chapter 4. Let's read this statement. But Jesus said, I must preach the good news. Everybody say gospel. Now the word good news means gospel. What is the gospel? I must preach the gospel of the kingdom to other towns also. Why? Read it out loud. Because that is why I came. I rest my case. Christ says, I didn't come to all these things you all talking about. I didn't come to start no church. I didn't come to talk about no membership. I didn't come to establish no rituals. I didn't come to talk about lighting no candles and having no services and all this singing y'all are doing. He said that was not my purpose for coming. My purpose was what? To establish the kingdom of God. And look at the word must in that verse. Must is one of the strongest word in the English language and in the Hebrew language. Must means I am obligated to do this. To do what? I must preach the good news of the kingdom. What have the church been preaching? We preach all kind of stuff. We preach things like born again. Let me start there where I'm getting little problems with someone. We preach born again. We preach 20 hours on born again. Why? Because we think that's the good news. The good news is not born again. Jesus only mentioned born again once in the Bible. Once he mentioned it. Once. Look at the TV. Jesus mentioned born again once in the Bible. Once. And he never mentioned it to the public. How do we deal with this? He never preached born again publicly, and he never mentioned it more than once. And yet, pastors preach it all the time. Can you find in the Bible where he preached born again to the multitudes? He mentioned born again about 2 a.m. in the morning to an old man named Nicodemus who came to wake him up. See, we have made the answer to the man's question the gospel. When in reality, the man's question was the gospel. Not the answer, but the man's question was the gospel. What was the man's question? How can I enter the kingdom? That was the man's question. And that is the reason why he asked it. Why did Nicodemus wake up, couldn't sleep, woke up 3 o'clock in the morning, disturbed Jesus? Why would a man do that? Because the man was irritated. He couldn't sleep. He was haunted. The guy was being hagged. Bahamian term, eh? He was being hagged. Why? Because all he heard from this young 30-year-old Jewish rabbi named Jesus for the last 2 years of his life, he'd been listening to this young guy. And every time this young guy came to his city and had a big crusade, he only preached one gospel. One message. The guy had one message. And he says the message was so wonderful that the old man couldn't sleep. And the old man says, I got to get into this thing. What did he hear Jesus preach? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a man. The kingdom of God is like a woman. The kingdom of God is like a fish. The kingdom of God is like a seed. Kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. And Jesus was so, listen to me, man. Y'all listening to me? Let me tell you something. He was so bent on getting kingdom across. He tried every example you could think of. In case you don't know about yeast, he used seed. Don't know about seed, he used money. You know, money, he used a field. Field, then he used employment. Employment, you don't understand that? Then he used a man who have a garden. Then he used a man who had servants. Then he used a man who had talents. He kept using. He said, someone got to get it somewhere. Got to get it somehow. One message. The kingdom. You are not supposed to be religious. This week is supposed to be the most exciting week of your life. You're supposed to wake up tomorrow morning with a different mentality. The same way you feel proud when the Golden Girls won the gold medal at the Olympics last time. You were so proud in that living room watching television. You were glad you had a Bahamian passport, didn't you? Yes, you were glad to be what? A citizen of the Bahamas. But that's the way you're supposed to feel every morning you wake up. I am glad I got a heavenly passport. The Bible says your citizenship is in heaven. Man, that's your Bible. And you know heaven always went into gold. Matter of fact, they walk on this stuff. Y'all praise him for a second. God don't wait till no Olympics to get gold. Talk to me, man. So when the Golden Girls, when you supposed to say, they ran for what I walk on. Sorry. In other words, your mentality is supposed to be, hey, my citizenship is with a government who's never broke. Economy never falls apart. There's no crime. Man, you'll talk to me, man. That's my country up there. And I represent my country on earth, and I'm colonizing earth for my country. And I am constantly increasing the expansion of the government. That's why we want to bring people into the kingdom. We want to expand it in everyone's life, in every territory, whether it's sports or music or media or in business or in the environment or politics. We need to keep on expanding the government. There's supposed to be a government in our government. Let me tell you, it's incredible that religion trains you to leave earth. Christ trains you to take it over. You've been taught, hang on till you get to heaven. Just hang on, the Lord's coming to get you out of all this mess. He said, no, no, no. He says, forget the world, I've overcome the world. You can overcome the situation. I found out something. God don't feel sorry for nobody. Oh boy, it's tough to teach. I wish I could take my brain and put it in your head. My success so far in my life is not luck. It's a revelation that I have an understanding of who I am, and I'm trying to get you to see it. And you see, you ain't got no excuse because I'm Baintown, Kanep, Juju, Picker. This ain't no mystery. And if you, one of these days, it's gonna happen to you. Stay with me. Just stay under my teaching. One day it's going to happen to you, and you're going to be a crazy man. A crazy, you can be just like me, crazy. You can believe nothing is impossible. I found out something about faith. When you get it right, you attract everything. Someone asked me the other day, can you help me get my book where yours is? I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. Why? I don't know how mine happened. Except but by the grace of God. All that stuff you see there, it just attracts to you. It comes when you get the right revelation. No good thing will he withhold if you walk uprightly. And uprightly means staying in sync with the government of God. And all of you could experience the heights of life if you capture what I'm teaching. Christ says, I must preach the kingdom of God. Why? Read the last verse again, last line. Because that is why I came. Now, why is what? Purpose. The purpose for his coming was to preach the kingdom of God. I want us to pause here. I can't get off this because we think he came, you know, little Jesus meek and mild, you know, rocking in the cradle. Like, no, no. He said, I came to bring a government to take over the world. And I only want people who got revolutionary mentality. I feel like hitting somebody. You get what I'm talking about? I know you're big and everything. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, man. We sitting around clapping and praise the Lord. That's not what this thing is about. Christ says, look, if you can be a part of my kingdom, I want you to be violent. Because the violent take it. Man. This ain't no... Listen. We ain't supposed to be... It's going to be deep now. Coexisting with the world. We're supposed to take over. If you're working on a job, don't go there just to get a salary. See, if you go there to get a salary, then it's a job. But if you go as an ambassador, it's an assignment. Y'all still ain't get it. Y'all clapping, but you ain't get it. You sure you got it? You clapping, you get it? Some of y'all hate your job. That, no, don't hate your job. God sent you on that job because it's an assignment. Now listen, faith worketh by knowledge and by love. According to your faith, so be it unto you. So if you got faith for this thing as a job, then you'll keep getting a salary. It's mental. How do you think? When you walk into your office or onto your construction job or go to be a mechanic at that shop or you are a teacher in that classroom, when you walk on that premises, you're supposed to have an awareness that I am on an assignment to invade this place. The salary is just, you know, a little thing on the side that they throw in to keep me here. They won't pay me something. But I really come here to invade this place with the kingdom principles of God and to infect the whole system with the values of the kingdom of God. And I came to win the boss. If you own your own company, that's an ambassadorial assignment. God has given you a little embassy to bring in all the diplomats to convert them to the kingdom of God. That's what a business is. So, you got to change your thinking. Do you understand? Should I hit you? Man, how many of you understand this? I don't want this to be a spiritual thing that you can't handle, you can't touch. This is supposed to be Monday morning stuff I'm talking about. You're supposed to go to work walking in there with your chest out saying, you know something? My citizenship is not related to the economy of the Bahamas. If the dollar falls, dollar rise, economy fall apart, unemployment, it don't affect me. Because, man, he says, listen, once you pay your tithes in the kingdom of God, that's the taxes in the kingdom of God, and then you give your offerings, that means you plant your investments in the kingdom of God, then the Bible says that when you do that, you have placed your treasure in a place where worm and moth, that means inflation, cannot get to. That means when other people are catching financial hell, you are having spiritual heaven. God protects his people. Let me tell you kingdom thinking. Jesus said to the children of Israel, he says, I will be your God, you'll be my people. He said, Moses, take him out for me. He said, but before I take him out, I'm going to destroy the economy of Egypt. That's what God said. And he wiped it out. He put blood in all that water so none of the plants could grow. He brought locusts, ate up all the crops. Now remember, the economy of Egypt was built on agriculture from the river Nile. So if you mess the Nile up, you destroy the economy. God turned the Nile to blood. So what is he doing? Destroying the economy. Now stay with me. When you are in the kingdom, that's why you keep having pressure. Because you still I ain't talking to you, I'm talking about the person next to you, okay? You still have religious mentality. Those people were living in Egypt. The economy fell apart. The water was full of blood. The locusts came, ate all the crops, and no one could grow anything because everything was red, bloody water, and the whole thing collapsed. And the Bible says, God told Moses, it shall not touch the houses of the Israelites. Now that is him. Is that impossible? How could a whole country collapse economically, but certain houses get bread? All over, just certain houses. Now y'all don't get it. See the king? He says, why do you worry? Matthew 6, about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, how you will live. He says, your father knows you need these things. Next verse, therefore seek ye first. You know, I'm going to tell you all something. I have no fear of the economy. It doesn't matter what the PM do and the economic people do and where they travel. This is no problem. Why? Because my economics is not based on what's going on in the treasury or in the legislation. I already got a government who already said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Anybody righteous, hold your hand up and scream. Now really scream like you believe you're righteous. See, you got to take yourself. Now, I know you got your job, and you want to love your job, and you should love your job. But stop seeing it as your source. Kingdom people are secure people. Religious people are worrying people. They're always tarrying, worrying. Kingdom people, I love Jesus, man. Jesus sitting down, eating a piece of bread one day. And the disciples were to knock on the door. And they went to open the door. There was a guy there. Guess who he was? He was from NIB. He was from National Insurance. He came to collect the taxes. And Peter came back and said, Master, the tax collectors are there. And Peter said, by the way, we broke. We ain't got no money at the moment to pay our taxes. Christ says, oh yes, we do. Let me tell you why. Listen, it's going to bless you. Let me tell you why God allows you to run out of money. So you can start depending on the source you get it from. You can get it after I'm gone. See, if you keep getting money from that same source, then you start thinking that source is the source. Christ knew the money was in the fish right out there in the water. He said, I'm going to let theirs run out so they can understand that where they got theirs from is not the only source. The Bible says in Isaiah, he knows where the secret riches of darkness is. God does. In other words, God knows where the billions of dollars are right now, tucked away in someone's account. He knows, and your name is on it. But you see, you're depending on your little meagly salary. And so he said, okay, according to your faith, so be it unto you. You tie yourself to that company got to keep you sustained. And when that company closed down, you are no longer sustained. And then you get problems, and you lose heart attack, you know, lose your job, and now your whole life fall apart. Why? All the time you're singing, you know, the Lord is my strength and my song is, and then when you lose your job, you collapse. Why? You depend on your job. You're saying you trust in God, but you really trust in that job, see? When you go to work tomorrow, see your job as an assignment. The issue for Christ's coming was what? Because I came to bring the good news of the kingdom. And that's why he sent you. This next verse blew my mind. Anybody learn anything this morning? Tell your neighbor, I can't wait for Monday. Man, don't be afraid of Monday mornings. Get excited about going to work, man. Work is opportunity for you to take over with the kingdom, not to pay your bills. God will pay your bills. But if you focus on your job as a bill-paying source, then you've limited your life to the salary. Some of y'all, I believe the Lord told me to bless you, but he ain't tell me yet because you depend on something else. Let me see if I can say that right again. I'm supposed to bless some of y'all financially, but the Lord ain't tell me yet because your faith is in something else. Do you know how I think now? I think in a weird way. Now, I am a Bahamian. Bahamians don't think like this. I am not foolish. So I'm not presumptuous. I don't go out and do dumb things. I didn't leave my job and hope God found one for me. I didn't do that. Okay. But my mentality is this. If God gave me an idea, something that He put in my heart and won't go away, then I am convinced that the resources to take care of that also exist. Convinced. I don't know where they are at the moment, but I am convinced they're there. So what I do is I start moving toward the thing that's in my heart with the conviction that the stuff I need is going to find it. It's coming toward it. As I move toward the thing, everything starts moving with me. See, it's like God speaking to Abraham, man. God said, Abraham, take your son. And do you know when Abraham took that boy to be sacrificed? The way it's written, you know, the Bible says that he went up on a mountain. And it's strange. The Bible says that there was a ram on the other side of the mountain in the thicket. It seemed to me that every time Abraham, as soon as he began to walk up the mountain, every time he took a step, the ram on the other side, he couldn't see it. The ram took a step. So they're walking toward each other, but couldn't see each other up the mountain. When they got to the top, they met. When you believe God, that's what happens in the kingdom. When you start to move toward what God told you to do, the resources also move toward you, and you can't see them until it's time. And when you need them, they're right there. And God said, Abraham, don't touch your son. There's the ram. Kingdom life is a life that has no stress, no pressure, no panic. Kingdom life has confidence, quiet confidence. That's why the Bible talks in the scripture about in the crease of his government and peace, there'll be no end. See, his kingdom government brings peace. Peace means everything's cool. I don't worry about a thing. Why? I'm in the kingdom. I'm lined up. Look at this next verse. He says in Luke 17 verse 20, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. In other words, you can't see this government coming. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is. Why? Because the kingdom is where? The kingdom is within you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your what? Lord. Everybody say Lord. Lord. Write that word down. Lord. The word Lord means what? Owner. When you... Oh Lord, have mercy. Everybody say Lord again. Lord. Now you can understand it because you're the politician, right? Okay, you understand this. We don't understand the kingdom, brother. Listen to me. And this is fresh revelation that I got 6 days ago. I just finally understand Lord. And I've been saved for 33 years. Do you know that Lord and kingdom go together? You see, in a republic or a democratic society like ours or America, America's a republic, they got a president. We are a parliamentary democracy. We got a prime minister. Same system, but similar execution. Do you know that in our governments, listen carefully now, the president of the United States does not own the citizens. The prime minister of the Bahamas does not own the citizens. That's why we cannot call the president of the United States or the prime minister of the Bahamas Lord. Y'all stay with me, man. This is important. Because they don't own the citizens. We can vote them out. Hallelujah. When you own the citizens, they have to call you Lord. Whatever you own, you are responsible for. In the Bahamas, the prime minister is not responsible for your life. Y'all better get this. This is going to help you live stress-free. In America, the president of the United States is not responsible for the citizens. You got to go to work yourself. You got to spend your money yourself. You got to build your house yourself. You got to buy your food yourself. You got to save your money yourself. You got to organize your budget yourself. The president ain't in you. The prime minister does not pay your light bill, water bill, mortgage, or rent. He don't pay for your food. You got to do that yourself. He ain't responsible for you. But if somebody is your Lord, that's why the key to salvation, Paul says in Romans 10, verse 17, he says, the just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then he says, for whosoever will confess with his mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you get saved from all your troubles. You're getting it, yeah. See, some of y'all made him your savior, but he ain't your Lord, because you're still working too hard. I'm talking about mentally working hard, just stress right out. He's your savior, but you are Lord of your own life still. You come and sing. I tell you all, I got a plan for you all. Within 2 years, you're going to be a different group of people. Only the wise going to stay with me. It can take that long to teach this, because that is the only gospel. The kingdom is the only gospel. If you don't get this, you can be religious. We're going to bury you, give you a tombstone. Because you're going to need one. Otherwise, we ain't going to know you were here. Everybody say, Lord. Lord. Lift your hand up and say, Lord. Lord. Now, say with understanding. Lord. What are you saying? Lord. Say, Jesus is my Lord. Now, you've seen that statement all over the place. Jesus is Lord. Kenneth Copeland used it as his emblem. And you wonder why? Because Kenneth Copeland understands Lord. See, something happened to him and Gloria years ago. I sat with him sitting in his headquarters there in Texas. We were talking over lunch in his own cafeteria. And he was telling me, he said, Pastor Miles. Kenneth Copeland said to me, he said, Pastor Miles, it's hard to teach this because people don't get it. He says, it's a covenant thing between you and the Lord. He said, until you get it, you'll never prosper. I know what he's talking about because I'm prospering. And I can't explain how I'm prospering except I have discovered a revelation of kingdom lordship. When he owns you, he pays your bills, he buys your clothes, he gets your car, he pays your rent, he pays your phone bill. But if he's not your Lord, you got to do that yourself. Religious people don't have a Lord. They got a religion. And they got to work hard. Let him become your Lord today. Listen to him again. Listen to him. He says, why do you worry? He was talking to who? His disciples. People who were following him already. Sound like you. He says, why are you still worrying what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear? Don't you get it? It comes with the relationship, he says. My Father knows you need these things. Lordship. Lordship. Make him your Lord. Am I talking to Christians? Sounds strange, yeah? Make him your Lord. He's a good Savior. He saved my soul. Yeah, but is he your Lord? Are you still hassled and harassed by life? Are you still tense and got ulcers and high blood pressure and diabetes kicking in and eye problems and weight problems? Are you worrying so much you eat plenty? What's your problem? Because he ain't your Lord. If he's your Lord, you'll be at the right weight. You won't have no stress. There'll be no pimples on your face. There'll be no blood problems. You don't talk to me, man. That's why the kingdom is full of what? Healing. If you're sick, When you get the kingdom stuff on you, the sickness goes away, because they say 90% of all disease come from stress. What is stress? Worry. Why do you worry? He says. Stress. I want you in this meeting before we leave, I want you to just do something for the first time. Just somehow go down deep inside of your soul and grab something that's been bugging you and pull it up and make him Lord of it. And say, Lord, you today, Pastor made sense. I want you to be my Lord. Because if he ain't your Lord, life's going to kill you. The kingdom is about the king owning you. Do you know why, when we were under the British, you know why we were called subjects? We were not called citizens, you know. We were called subjects. Subject means that you are subjected to the king's responsibility. That means when we were a colony, and the old folks would remember this, you know, when we were a colony, you didn't worry about nothing. If you need something, it came from England, or England got it to us. They paved our roads, they put the lights up, they took care of the water, everything was free. Why? We're a colony, we're under a kingdom, they took care of everything. We never had to worry about voting or nothing. Why? Because the king took care of everything. That's what kings do. Now, when Great Britain began to run into problems, you know, now, and this is an important example here. I mean, we can close here, but this is deep. When Great Britain began to run into economic problems, listen, man, this is good. They began to realize that the colonies became so much of a heavy responsibility. They couldn't carry the weight of the peoples all over the world that they were supporting. Why? Because the government ain't got no more money. What a Bible for me. I won't stand up on cheer. Because I want you to get this revelation. When Great Britain ran into problems, Great Britain says, we got to get rid of these colonies. Why? Too much responsibility, man. So when the Bahamas say, we want independence, the Queen of England say, thank you very much. I tired fixing your roads and giving your light and paying your water bill and carrying all of your weight and getting food to the islands. And that's too much weight for us, man. Follow me carefully now. They dumped us. We thought it was a blessing. So now we got to what? Pave our own roads, fix our own lights, and get our own water, and import our own food, and get our own jobs, and we got to keep the own economy going, and that's why we got to pay our own taxes. Now you know why the Bible constantly says, all through the Bible, it says, the Lord God is king. And his throne shall not be shaken. It shall reign forever and ever and ever. For the Lord God is established, and his throne is established forever. Why you keep saying that? Because you ain't got to worry about this government going out of business.
Thank you once again for listening to this message, as we hope that it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you new paths and opportunities so that you can discover your purpose. It is your love, support, and partnership that makes Monroe Global possible. Please visit us online at www.monroeglobal.com for more product, partnership, or to join us at one of our live events around the world.